The lifespan of the minerals resources rent tax will be short if Fortescue Metals gets its way. The company is planning, as we've mentioned, a High Court challenge, which aims to have the tax struck down as unconstitutional. Two legal experts say the case has some chance of success, as the High Court can be unpredictable. But they also warn that the states could end up finding themselves without any rights to the minerals under their territory. Business reporter Michael Yander.
Fortescue Metals says it will challenge the constitutional validity of the federal government's minerals resource rent tax in the High Court. And constitutional law expert Dr. Margaret Kelly from Macquarie University says it's likely that Fortescue will at least get a hearing.
I think it very likely that the High Court will entertain an application to rule on the constitutionality of these acts.
Dr. Kelly not only thinks Fortescue will get a hearing, but that it has a decent shot at winning the case.
Given the shortness of the Act, the lack of definitions in the Act, and the very general nature of the Act, then I myself, if I were the Commonwealth, wouldn't be as hopeful as apparently the Prime Minister currently is.
A challenge to the tax is likely to be based on three arguments. The first is that the tax discriminates against states with a large quantity of iron ore or coal, such as Western Australia or Queensland. But Sydney University constitutional law professor Anne Toomey says that argument's unlikely to succeed.
The real issue is, are you taxing equally across the board? So if your rate of tax is 10% or 50% or whatever, so long as it applies equally across the board to all the states and you're not favouring one over another, that's okay.
The other two arguments are whether the tax breaches Section 114 of the Constitution, which prohibits federal taxes on state property, and whether the MRRT is a tax, or rather some sort of penalty or fee. Dr. Kelly says these grounds will probably attract serious consideration by the High Court.
The fact that each of these acts purports to say that the Act does not impose a tax on the property of a state, I think quite clearly raises that question unambiguously. And the fact that the acts in their various forms also raise the question of, well, is this really a tax as opposed to being, say, a pecuniary penalty or some kind of fee? That too is a constitutional question.
But Professor Toomey says there are two strong arguments the Commonwealth can make against the MRRT being considered a tax on state property. Here's the first.
The Commonwealth's most likely to argue that it's not a tax on minerals at all, that it's a tax on the profits of corporations, and indeed the Commonwealth has been taxing corporations and companies for a very, very long period of time, and that it's perfectly valid and that there are really no issues at all. But that's the most likely approach that the Commonwealth is likely to take.
Professor Toomey says the second argument the Commonwealth could make is that it actually owns the minerals, not the states.
You certainly don't own the minerals beneath your land. That belongs to the Crown. Now, the difficulty in Australia is, well, how do you divide that up when you've got different crowns? You've got the Crown and right of the state and the Crown and right of the Commonwealth, and who gets what? The general view has been taken in the past that it is the states that get the sort of property rights, so control of the soil and the subsoil and the minerals and all the rest of it, and the Commonwealth gets other sorts of prerogative rights, like, you know, powers in relation to external affairs and those sorts of things. That may change in the future. There was some suggestion in a High Court case recently that the rights of the states in relation to minerals and royalties may have been wrongly distributed, and that indeed the Commonwealth may well have some rights to royalties which it didn't ever suspect that it did.
Dr. Kelly agrees the states run the risk of losing their ownership of mineral rights to the Commonwealth in this High Court challenge.
States have always said that they have their own individual crowns. Australia, of course, is a constitutional monarchy under the headship of Elizabeth II, and there is only one crown. So there's an argument to be made that any crown rights in minerals anywhere in Australia belongs to the Crown of Australia, which, of course, is the Commonwealth of Australia. And in fact, one could argue there is no such thing as a crown of a state, because a state, as defined in covering clause 6 to the Constitution, the only definition given to a state is that it is a part of the Commonwealth. So it is the Commonwealth Crown, there's an argument to be made that has the right to all and any royalties in any event. Mind you, this argument has never been made before, and who knows how far it might go.
So perhaps it's not surprising that Western Australia's Premier, Colin Barnett, wasn't keen to institute a case against the mining tax, but will join in if someone else launches the action.
Michael Yander.